Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But we got to talk about Jeb Bush, too.
So I was over...
I'm serious.
Yeah, no, I know.
All right. It's not political. He weighed in on the Astros.
He did. It's in there.
Okay.
I was over at Texans yesterday. I had to get my weekly dosage of Romeo Crennel to... inject into my veins.
Makes you feel good about everything, about life.
Yeah. The jolly uncle, Romeo Crennel.
You know what? We're joking, kind of. We're not really joking, because that is true. And you think about the fact that he's been coaching in the NFL in a profession that seems to grind some otherwise hardened men up and spit them out. Romeo just takes it all in stride.
Yes.
He looks like he's having the time of his life. I would imagine he's going to... It's not like they're going to have to drag him out of the league because he seems like that would be too... He wouldn't want to be that unpleasant about it. But he's going to keep coaching until he doesn't have the opportunity to coach anymore.
Yeah. And when you go to the Thursday media sessions of the two coordinators, and Tim Kelly, I'm sure, is very good at his job and very intelligent and very smart. His answers compared to Romeo Crennel's answer, Tim Kelly may be an actual descendant of the Belichick family tree. Like, his answers are 7 seconds long each answer. Oh, Romeo Crennel will sit there and give you the history of football if you ask him about it.
We'll have to play the Stephen Belichick later, where Stephen Belichick, the defensive backs coach for the Patriots, who sounds exactly like his father.
No paternity test needed.
But
even though he doesn't look like him at all.
He was kind of pleasant. He kind of mumbles his way through speech and everything. So.
Yeah, he actually smiles, though. You actually know that Steve Belichick has teeth.
Yeah, so Tim Kelly doesn't necessarily give the most effusive answers.
Yeah, but Romeo Crennel does. And Romeo Crennel was asked by John McClain yesterday about his record against rookies. Romeo Crennel is 11-1 against rookies as the head coach of the Texans. Here's Romeo Crennel when asked to explain why that is.
Maybe they're rookies and I'm more experienced, but I do not play not one down against a rookie quarterback. I'm never on the field. It's my guys who kind of do the job, you know. And rookies, they are rookies, just like these rookies I got on my team. They're rookies, and they make rookie mistakes until they get experience, until they learn.
He's 11-1 against rookies, and some of them have been, you know, and there's a couple Mettenbergers in there from Mettenberger's rookie year.
11-1 with the Texans.
With the Texans. I mean, you got the two Minshew games this year. So some of them are rookies that don't have tremendous pedigree.
Well, in the Minshew, now it's interesting because he's 11-1, but this year, okay, one of those, that one loss was this year. And then the Minshew game, the first Minshew game, it was a little dicey there at the end. I felt like if the Jaguars hadn't been so Doug Marrone-like, if they had actually let Gardner Minshew play quarterback before the fourth quarter, I think there's a good chance the Jaguars win that
game. He might be 10-2 against rookies instead of 11-1. Yeah, and then they got him pretty good the second time around in London. They whatever adjustments they needed to make, they made. But Derek Carr in 2014, two Blake Bortles games. You know, I know Bortles has turned out to be what he is, but he was the third overall pick in that draft. They beat Jameis Winston the year he was the number one overall pick. Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, those were the first three quarterbacks taken last year. Romeo Crennel's defense beat all three of those quarterbacks. The only loss, ironically, is to the Patriots and Jacoby Brissett.
Mm-hmm.
The week three game where Brady was out on his Deflategate suspension. So 11-1 against rookies, and I don't know, Seth. You're a former defensive player. When you're scouting and you see it's a rookie on the other side, like, is that something that gets the defensive folks licking their chops a little bit?
I think that, I mean, you smell blood in the water before there's even blood in the water. Yeah. Because you know, okay, versus any rookie quarterback, if you start to get him confused, especially if you get up in that game, then there's a really good chance to do something. I guess the flip side would be, it's kind of like getting in a fight with somebody that's smaller than you. You win, and that's what you're supposed to do.
True.
You lose, and it's, oh, what a punk. What a punk move.
That's what
you got.
Losing to Minshew would have been in week two.
Uh-huh.
Right? Yeah.
Right. Or losing to Kyle Allen, which they did.
Who
wasn't even a good quarterback in college, by the way. It's not like you're losing to a stud or anything. You're losing to a guy who couldn't even start in college.
He couldn't start. I was going to say he wasn't even good. I'm like, he wasn't even a starter.
Yeah, that's why people felt so bad about the Texans after that loss.
Yes.
Now, this is what the Texans defense has been. It's transformed itself as the season has gone along. And in some ways, I actually feel better about this defense than when JJ was healthy. And it's not because, please don't twist my words and say that, oh, Seth said it's because JJ's gone. No, it's that they've improved on the back end.
Yeah.
So even when JJ was here and he was getting good pressure on the quarterback, at times it didn't matter because guys were uncovered downfield. JJ was getting really close to sacks and they'd still be completions. Now we actually see coverage sacks. We've seen Tom Brady hold on to the ball for 4 or 5 seconds with nobody open downfield. They've transformed themselves by some of these new additions and by a return to health that I actually feel better about them in many ways than I did before. And then likewise, when you're going against a rookie quarterback like Kyle Allen, you'd love to show him some pressure and confuse him a little bit. But when you couldn't cover on the back end, that's scary to do. It's scary to blitz when you can't cover on the back end. And then some rookie sometimes rookies don't know any better and they're taking chances they shouldn't take. And all of a sudden they're crushing you. I don't worry about that with Drew Lock in this secondary with the Texans.
Drew Lock's only got one game to go off of on film. I asked Romeo Crennel yesterday, how do you scout somebody who you only have one game worth of film on?
Preseason, so you can kind of go back and you look at that. You can look at what he did in college a little bit to give you an overall view, give you an overall feel, which you might feel about him. But, you know, he's playing against different competition and those things. Even in the NFL preseason, it's different than the regular season, you know. And he was able to win the game last week. So that says a lot about him, his composure, and use the weapons that he has.
Does Drew Lock scare you at all in this game, Seth?
I'm like Bill O'Brien. I'm scared of any NFL team. So it scares me. I saw him make some really nice throws in the first quarter, and then everything got a little bit shut down after that. What you get nervous about with any rookie quarterback is you still don't know exactly what he's capable of doing. And now with his second week in the program, are they opening up the playbook a little bit, or his second week as a starter? Will they open up the playbook a little bit? Do they install some things that they didn't have last week or that maybe they were waiting to put in, including anything that involves him running the ball? You know, he's not an incredible athlete, but he is like a 4.65 guy. He's pretty damn fast. He's as quarterbacks go. So there's all that. Because remember, that's what happened with Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett, you say, all right, we know him, and we don't think he's going to run a whole ton. And then all of a sudden, he ran all over the Texans.
Yeah.
And obviously, he can do when he was a rookie with the Patriots. So does he scare me? No, he doesn't scare me, but he makes me nervous because he's unknown.
Yeah. The Broncos, I mean, I guess they view Drew Lock as the future there. They used the second-round pick on him.
I don't think they look at him as...
Do you don't think so?
He's a second-round pick. I think he can play. I don't think anything he does in the next four games keeps them from drafting a quarterback if they see the right guy. That's what they
really
do. They keep drafting quarterbacks.
No, I know that. Well, that's the point I was about to make. They've shuffled all kinds of guys in and out of there since Peyton Manning's been good. They've had Trevor Siemian in there and Case Keenum last year. They traded for Flacco. They drafted Paxton Lynch.
Right. I mean, Paxton
they drafted
Lynch
Drew Lock.
When was Paxton Lynch?
2016.
16. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. See, I've always been of the mind that if you draft a quarterback in the second round, feel free to draft a quarterback whenever you please after that.
Yeah, I think so. I think if Drew Lock in the last four games is good, then I do think maybe they view him that way. I think they view him that way enough to where they wouldn't use a first-round pick on a quarterback.
Yeah.
If he were good the last four games.
But if you really like a guy in the first round, I guess, maybe they see that. I'll tell you, I'm so down on any Denver quarterbacks right now and over the past decade. I was talking to a woman at dinner last night who's a Broncos fan, and she was talking about how the perception of Elway in Denver is, you know, this guy's gone from a legend, and people still respect him as a legend on the playing field, but it's getting to be kind of a pain in the ass to deal with him as your the guy in charge for the Broncos. Because the Broncos there's nobody in charge of the Broncos right now. Because when Jim Boland,
at the very top,
there's a trust that's in charge.
Right.
And the family's kind of jockeying for control, and it looks like one of the daughters, I think,
yes,
is going to end up with control, but she doesn't necessarily have control right now. So it's just John Elway, who's been abysmal at actually picking quarterbacks who aren't Peyton Manning.
He's been abysmal at getting quarterbacks in any shape, form, or fashion. He was abysmal in drafting one in the first round. He was abysmal in trying to use one that was drafted in the later rounds. He was abysmal at getting a bridge guy in Keenum and signing him to a two-year deal.
He was going to sign Osweiler if the Texans hadn't been just a little bit more foolhardy.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
For all the money the Texans threw at him, the Broncos were going to throw, what, $5 million less at him, but still $35, $40 million, approaching $40 million guaranteed.
Right, somewhere in the same neighborhood as what the Texans gave to him. So it's been... Boy, I mean, you look at some of these quarterbacks they've had out there, and it's what the Texans were going through before Deshaun Watson got it. This is what teams go through when they're trying to find their quarterback.
But Cortland Sutton is the receiver that made them feel comfortable trading the Texans
Demaryius Thomas
to the Texans last year, and he's got a connection with Drew Lock, and so I'm not sleeping on them whatsoever. Am I scared of him, or do I think he's the franchise of the future, or do I predict greatness for him? I mean, I haven't seen anything that would suggest that. Maybe he takes off and throws four touchdowns a game over the next four games, and I'll be wrong. I don't get why they would necessarily hinge their future on it if something happens in the first round and there's a guy they really like.
Yeah. They're 4-8 now. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they're picking. Tua being banged up going into this draft kind of affects the calculus, I think, of how the urgency level on quarterbacks.
They're the perfect team to draft Tua. Just fine. Give Drew Lock a year to see what he has. The other thing, too, is I think teams worry too much about artificially creating confidence in their quarterback. Like somehow they feel that, well, no, the team needs to look at him and respect him as the guy. Look, newsflash for you. They're not going to until he shows that he's really good. The Jacksonville Jaguars respect Gardner Minshew seemingly just fine. It's not because the team put some vote of confidence in him or anything. It's up to that quarterback himself. I swear, teams treat these guys with kid gloves when, in actuality, if a quarterback is worth his salt, he doesn't need to be treated with
kid
gloves. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, fine, draft Tua. Yeah. Oh, no, the pressure. Screw the pressure.
Yeah.
If Drew Lock's actually a guy, it won't matter.
Yeah.
And then you can trade away Tua or do whatever you want.
Yep. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday, Sports Radio 610. So Romeo Crennel, 11-1 against rookies as head coach of the Texans. Makes me feel a little bit better about the game this week. I still don't know if I'm going to pick them to cover a 9-point spread, but nevertheless. The big crying sound that you heard around Houston yesterday, like in Star Wars when they blew up that planet and they said millions of voices cried out in terror and were suddenly silenced. Those were all the females around the city of Houston hearing about the Jake Mariznick trade.
Are you calling me a female? Because fine, so be it. I was devastated.
Maybe in a metaphorical sense, I'm
Jake
calling
Mariznick
you a female.
Jake Mariznick is the athlete that I would have envisioned myself to be. Like if in my
flowing
in
locks.
My, yes, good
slender.
Looking.
Slender.
Just kind of with like a daring do, where just reckless, like throws his body all over the
devil
place.
Devil may
without
care.
Abandon. Every now and then, maybe we wished his judgment would have been a little bit better at home plate.
Yeah.
Didn't hurt me personally, and he's the kind of player, absent the actual skill at Major League Baseball, he's exactly who I'd want to be.
He was traded to the Mets yesterday, if you haven't heard the news, and he was traded for two fairly low-level prospects. Neither of the guys, there's a left-handed pitcher and a young outfielder that were traded here, and they're neither of them in the top 30 prospects in the Mets organization.
This is what I worry about for Jake Mariznick, because he is one of my favorite players. He is now in my pantheon of current professional athletes who used to play for Houston, who I love because of their hustle and determination. There's Pat Beverly. There's Jake Mariznick. Who would I be missing on the Texans for that? Who's a hustle guy?
Hustle and grind on a Texans.
Beverly and Mariznick. It's hard to equate that to somebody. I know a bunch of people will just say Simon just because he's a white dude. But no. Just because you're
what
white.
What about
and
any
have
of the lunch
tattoos,
pail crew?
What about
the readers and the Blacksons in the world?
They're currently with the Texans.
Oh, you mean former. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you say former. Yeah, guys who've departed.
So this is what I would worry about with Mariznick. Because we all love the way Mariznick plays the game, but he was also a guy who couldn't hit, but was a great defensive player on a really good baseball team.
Yeah.
it's different if you're on a bad baseball team and you're a defensive guy who can't hit. I don't think he's going to be as beloved if they're going to depend on him. If he's going to be starting 80-plus games and not hitting all that well at the plate, I don't think he's going to necessarily get the reception there that he would here on a bad baseball team.
Kevin Walter.
Yeah. Oh, Kevin Walter. Yeah, but he's not currently with another team.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was looking up who they traded him for while you were laying out your criteria.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the guys that are elsewhere that when they come to town, I'm
yeah.
like,
yeah. Okay.
Even Beverly right now, I can tell. I'm like, all right, look, all this other stuff, and anybody else was doing it, I'd be really annoyed with Beverly right now, but I can't because he's in this protection.
The Texans would tell you it's Alfred Blue. The Texans would tell you.
This is a good one for the text line. Texans 713-572-4610. A current NFL player who used to play for the Texans, who's like a Pat Beverly, Jake Mariznick hustle type guy.
Yeah.
Who am I missing? I can't think of anybody right now.
Yeah. All right. 713-572-4610.
I feel like it's because if that guy were on the Texans, Bill O'Brien would never let him go.
That's true. Yeah. People are sending in AJ Boye on the text line.
Oh, that's good. I never really thought of him as he's an upstart. He pulled himself up by his bootstraps.
He did.
Okay, let me think about that one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.